Don't worry, news hounds. I'm still here. I'm just sick. I was taking a nap, and I woke up and realized, oh no, it's time for the news.
It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh, hello, hello. Direct to you. Welcome, welcome. Shout out to Quentin and X1 and Ronald. Other folks in comm, I'm sure. Zeroff. Sorry, Stug. Sorry I'm late. I was, as I said, I was laying in bed trying to sleep. I slept a lot last night, which is great. And so I think tomorrow, I don't know, today I tried to work, and about an hour in, my head just started hurting. I had to lay down. So we'll try again, maybe tomorrow. But anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about the world news and all the other cool news that's going on out there. So I haven't organized the news quite right, so we'll be jumping around, but we do have a lot of death to talk about. So we'll begin in Singapore. Hey, Tobe is around. Shout out to Tobe. Fun times with the Dubious Goals yesterday. All right. Excuse me. All right, first up. A Singaporean couple were on holiday in India when a speeding tanker lorry rammed into their car. Mr. Yuvarajan Selvam and his wife, Madam Nagajoletti Varadarasu, both in their 40s, were killed along with the man who was driving them from Chennai to Tirupati. The couple had flown from Singapore to India on March 8th for a holiday and would be joined by other family members from Singapore on Monday for the second leg of their trip. But on Sunday, the couple's family members received a call informing they died on a road accident. Mr. Yuvarajan, a construction manager, and Madam Nagajoethi, a teacher, had chartered a car and driven driver to take them from Chennai, where they were staying, to a temple in the city of Tirupati on Sunday morning. The 130-kilometer drive was expected to take about 3.5 hours. But at 8:30 a.m. local time, 11 a.m. Singapore time, as they headed about halfway through the drive near Nagari Andhara Pradesh, a speeding oil tanker lorry rammed into the car and dragged it off of the road. The couple and the driver died on the spot. The driver of the lorry fled the scene, leading to a police manhunt for him. It was later reported the man was arrested. He added the bodies were extricated from the mangled wreck and were taken to a hospital for autopsy. There's some pretty troubling video and photo posted on Twitter about this. And this was just a regular old couple that was on, it was visiting back to their home country. Tirupati. I want to see where Tirupati is, though. Okay, Tirupati is in Andhra Pradesh also. That's what I thought. So Chennai is a wonderful city on the coast. I think it's in the northern part of Tamil Nadu. Yeah. If I zoom up, yeah. It's the northern part of Tamil Nadu. But Chennai is a wonderful city on the coast. Tirupati is further inland, but it's still one of the coastal states, even though it's about 100 kilometers inland. But anyway, I just wanted to check. Yeah, it's still over there. If you know where Chennai is, it's kind of the same spot. It's on the east coast of India. Let's see. Oh, look, we can measure. How far is it? Distance. From there to Chennai, it's about 225 miles or 360 kilometers north of Sri Lanka. All right. All right, let's keep on moving. I'm easily sidetracked. My powers of brain are low. So let's talk about some African tragedies. First, the low body count one. At least three students are confirmed dead and several others injured following a fatal accident at Kasaka Secondary School in Gomba after a truck rammed into one of the buildings on Tuesday afternoon. The accident happened around 3:30 p.m. when the driver of a Sino truck lost control of the vehicle and veered into the school computer lab that was occupied by students and killed three on the spot. 18 others were injured in the process and were immediately evacuated to nearby medical facilities. Mr. Kafasi Katumba, the school head teacher, said that the driver of the ill-fated Sino truck, or this is a gas tanker, truck, first hit the school gate before crashing into the lab in Senior 4 West classroom. The driver seems to have failed to negotiate the corner and thought the truck will stop if he hits the school gate. Unfortunately, it just continued moving, crashing into the computer lab where it killed two others. So yeah, this is a good lesson for all of us. Don't assume your car or bullet or gun or whatever it is, whatever is moving, will stop when it hits the first barrier. Sadly, another vehicle related death here. Let's see, do we have another car related death? You know what? I don't think. Nope, no more cars. Well, you know what that means. If we go from planes, we check trains, no train deaths. All right. Well, let's see. Do we have anything for boats? Oh, yeah, we got a lot for boats. Don't worry. More than 21 bodies have been recovered from a deadly shipwreck. Three ambulances carry the remains of some of the passengers, but 15 bodies were pulled out of the water. They were in the boat, and thanks to the intervention of the divers, they were pulled out, and all of them were wearing life jackets. This doesn't make a lot of sense. This is coming to us from AfricaNews.com, so we'll try and make sense of it. The quote is, 15 bodies were pulled out of the water. They were in the boat, and thanks to the intervention of the divers, they were pulled out, and all of them were wearing life jackets, but they were trapped in the boat. So it's not clear if those are the dead or they survived. As of March 14th, the official report is 124 people rescued. Okay, those are the rescued people, probably. 21 lifeless bodies recovered, and 16 people still missing. The hope for all the parents today is at least to find the bodies of their loved ones. The only thing we're waiting for today is really that the bodies are found alive, because the miracle is still possible, or still dead, to console at least the parent that they can still see their loved ones one last time. We're not impatient. As long as we do not have the body, we are not at peace. But we hope that God can do something and the bodies can be found. African news correspondent Gerard Wilfred Obengome reports that the Gabonese government has suspended the director of the Merchant Navy and his deputy, as well as the general manager of the Esther Miracle, the boat that sank. So they're continuing to search for those 16 people. But don't worry, because those 16 people are missing. 21 bodies were recovered, but the death toll is up to 34 in another shipwreck in Madagascar. That's right. The death toll from a shipwreck overnight from Saturday to Sunday off Madagascar was carrying migrants to the French island of Mayotte in the Indian Ocean. The boat, which was carrying about 60 passengers, sank off the northern coast of the Big Island. A first reported on Monday about 20 deaths. The bodies recovered by the authorities on Tuesday included those of three children and are in a state of advanced decomposition. Ugh. John Edmond Randrianantinana, director of the Port Maritime and River Agency, told AFP, "An investigation is underway. A survivor, a young pregnant woman, will be a key witness. She is one of the 24 people rescued by fishermen the night of the sinking. 23 other survivors fled before authorities arrived." So just really sad. This one was news to me because it was like the body had been decomposing. So that just seems like maybe they died on the journey. But either way, terrible way to go. And in Canada, moving away from human death, Canadian police say they're investigating the suspicious death of 17 wild horses in British Columbia. The horses appear to have been shot and killed near the Kamloops area, the RMCP, or the Mounties, Royal Canadian Mounted Police said. The horses are of cultural significance to the local Skechestan Indigenous Band, the police said. The Mounties have launch an investigation into the incident. A motive has not been identified. Tecumloops Rural RCMP said they received a report on Friday of several horses that were killed on Crown land that is owned by the province of British Columbia near the small community of Wallachan, about 65 kilometers west of Kamloops. They appear to be from a herd of wild horses which frequent this area. Police deployed a forensics team, a veterinarian, and an RCMP livestock investigator to examine the scene. In an interview with the CBC, a livestock investigator said that the carcasses were spread over a 2-kilometer area. It's really difficult terrain, he said. It's not traveled much. So anyway, just kind of sad to see dudes getting taken out like that. And now to airplanes, because we're covering all the modes of travel. Officials... Sorry, I gotta remember not to laugh too much. And please, let me know if me doing the news while I'm sick is gross or otherwise not enjoyable. Just let me know, because I'm happy to play music or something instead, if it is. Officials are investigating a near miss at a U.S. airport. Aviation officials are investigating a close call between two planes at Ronald Reagan Airport in Washington, D.C. On March 7th, a Republic Airways flight crossed the runway without clearance after a United Airlines flight had just been cleared for takeoff. An air traffic controller responded by immediately canceling takeoff for the United flight. The incident is the latest in a string of close calls across U.S. airports. In a statement to the BBC, the FAA confirmed that it was investigating the incident involving Republic Airways Flight 4736. The pilot of the Republic Airways flight was cleared to cross the runway, but turned on the wrong taxiway, the agency said. The incident occurred around 8:30 local time. Preliminary data from Flight Radar 24 shows the two planes were more than 2,300 feet apart at the time. The FAA said it was determining the closest distance between the aircrafts as part of the investigation. The news comes ahead of a FAA safety summit on Wednesday, the first to be held since 2009, that will kickstart a sweeping review in the wake of several near collisions at airports. This is a grease tag. This is something's wrong. Because it seems to be happening a lot lately, especially this year, and late last year. We had two recently. One was about to take off while the other was crossing the same runway, and then another one was with a FedEx cargo plane. So, very troubling indeed. Now, let's talk about energy for a minute, because there's two energy stories to talk about. First, this is frustrating because there are a lot of stories lately, a lot of energy stories, where the United States is kind of saying, you know what, sorry, environment, but making money is number one priority, public safety is number two, and then after that is like the environment and world peace and then maybe social justice reform. Hey, Draw, welcome. Well, anyway, construction's underway at the Thacker Pass lithium mine in northern Nevada after a federal court denied opponents' request for an injunction. Lithium Americas, a mining company headquartered in Vancouver, Canada, said in a news release this month that workers were drilling at the site and building infrastructure, including water pipelines. General Motors, which wants the United States lithium for electric vehicle batteries, announced earlier this year that it would invest $650 million in Lithium Americas if the mine cleared legal and regulatory hurdles. Gary McKinney of the local Shoshone Paiute Indigenous tribe said he was disappointed to learn the mine construction had already started. There was not any justice for the environment, McKinney told Al Jazeera, noting that mineral extraction for the energy transition was an absurd prospect that would destroy ecosystems rather than preserve them. It's not logical, he said. It's going to leave contamination behind. The only question is how much. McKinney is part of a group called People of Red Mountain that is resisting the mine at Thacker Pass. They call the crescent moon-shaped pass Pihi Muhua, which means rotten moon, in reference to the 19th century massacre of indigenous people in the area. Thacker Pass, the largest known lithium deposit in the U.S., is a key piece of the plan by the President Joe Biden to secure domestic minerals to manufacture batteries for electric vehicles. It's the world's second largest emitter of greenhouse gases after China. The U.S. transition away from fossil fuels to address global warming is important there. We're running out of time. I'm running out of gas. So we're going to play a song until the Dubious Goals Committee starts up. But I want to play, well, we'll get there. Let's just, here, it's time. It's always time, but never time. You know how it goes.
Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF, and SDF is powered by you. So thank you for being here and listening, hanging out. And please stick around for the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. We've got around 3 minutes to go. And I'm running out of gas, so we're going to play a song or part of a song, and then it'll be Dubious Goose time, Goals time. Dubu's Goals to Dubu's Goose time. Something like that. Heavy bass.